Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome in to an Under Center pod special. My guest today is Pete Sampson of Irish Illustrated. Pete does a tremendous job covering Notre Dame, been covering the Irish for well over a decade at this point, I would have to estimate. And we're here at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis to talk about one subject and one subject only, Quentin Nelson. Well, and I guess Harry Hiestand. But Pete covered Quentin Nelson, Nelson's entire career at Notre Dame, knows Harry Hiestand and that track record. So we're going to start talking about that, how it relates to the Bears. Certainly with the number 8 overall pick, the Bears could be looking at a guard, Quentin Nelson. If they are looking at a guard, Quentin Nelson's probably the only one they'd be looking at. So, Pete, I'm going to throw it over to you right now. Where did Quentin Nelson kind of grow the most from when he came in as a 5-star recruit from New Jersey to when he left Notre Dame as a guy who is now being bandied about as a top 10 pick?
I think he said this a little bit in his press conference. Like, he didn't have a whole lot of technique. He was just a big body who didn't know how to put that all in motion efficiently. I mean, I think even when we saw him after he redshirted, he came in right away, you're like, wow, physically this guy is impressive as 18, 19-year-old. But then when you saw him play, you know, off balance a little bit, I think, you know, where he was most devastating this year was pulling, being on the move, and you just don't see guys who can be athletes in space who are offensive linemen. And I think that applied to Quentin Nelson as a sophomore, but that changed his junior, senior year, and he was, you know, I hesitate to say as good as I've ever seen at Notre Dame, but just because of Zach Martin and being a 4-year starter, the top offensive lineman on the team for 4 straight years. But just in terms of a physical specimen, I have not seen one better, and Mike McGlinchey is pretty impressive in his own right.
Yeah, I think the discussion that was kind of interesting, we were having this over text message like a month ago, but, you know, who's the better prospect coming out of Notre Dame, Quentin Nelson or Zach Martin? Zach Martin had he was a much more polished player, I think it's probably fair to say. Just Martin had that, like, it factor of you knew he was going to be great wherever he played. But from a physical standpoint, there's no comparison to Quentin Nelson. Just a big body who, like you said, Pete, is so athletic, is so good in space, and as a guard, I mean, that's what you want. You want a guy who can pull, get out into space, be dominant in the run game, be also a pretty darn good pass blocker. And you just look at the track record of Notre Dame offensive linemen of Zach Martin, Nick Martin, Ronnie Stanley, and recently, and like you said, Mike McGlinchey's a great prospect in his own right. And that gives you quite a bit of confidence that Quentin Nelson's going to be a really good player, just even beyond what he puts on tape.
Yeah, because you go through the draft cycles and you link the quarterbacks who are busts. Does that reflect on that college coach? Well, you know, with Notre Dame offensive line with Harry Hiestand, clearly he got NFL coaching because his coach is an NFL offensive line coach again. And it with Stanley going as high as he did, but also being a hit, Martin being a hit beyond all imagination. I mean, we all thought he was close to a sure thing, but maybe not a Pro Bowler as a rookie, right? Sure thing. And then even Nick Martin, I think, without injury, would be you know, one of the better centers in the league. So it's, you sort of like get to Quentin Nelson and think, like, this is the guy that you would spend a top 5 pick on or a top 10 pick on as a guard. And I know it doesn't happen a lot, and probably for good reason, but still, if you want to draft a guy that's going to be starting for you for 12 years and probably make 6 Pro Bowls, then I can't imagine there are a lot of teams that are going to overthink that just because you don't, quote-unquote, draft guards.
This is the NFL. Everyone overthinks everything. as it regards to Nelson, the level of play that he was at in 2017, you know, we all see the highlight reels. We see him pile-driving that LSU offensive or defensive player, and you know, it just, even I remember watching one game where he pulled into space and he started going, he was matched up against a defensive back. And you could just see in the defensive back's head him just going, crap, 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 and then he just gets run over. Because Nelson, instead of going and engaging with the guy, he just was like, I'm 325 pounds and more athletic than you, and just bowled him over. Just the athleticism of Quentin Nelson, you kind of made mention of this earlier, that weirdly, Quentin Nelson has a bigger wingspan than Mike McGlinchey, but Mike McGlinchey has longer arms. And just kind of think about that for a second. Mike McGlinchey has longer arms, but Quentin Nelson has a bigger wingspan.
Yeah, there should have a shoulder span measurement here, because I think Quentin Nelson would set combine records. And it's, you know, the physical aspects are off the charts, but it's the mentality that, you know, you reference a little bit. I think there was a play similar to what you said in the Wake Forest game last year where he pulls to the left. And it's, I mean, the Josh Adams is running behind him 5 yards, getting tackled. The DB is on basically 1 foot off the field, and Nelson puts the other foot off the field and then just rolls on top of him. He wants to punish you to the fact that you quit or you give up. And there are guys that, I don't know if he would say this just sort of on the record fully, but there are guys that I think he made quit last year during games when Notre Dame and Josh Adams is running for 75-yard touchdowns in the fourth quarter against, you know, USC or NC State. Like, those teams quit because they were tired of dealing with Quentin Nelson just plowing them into the ground down after down after down.
Behind the scenes at Notre Dame, you know, beyond the highlight reel plays, beyond the even just the, you know, the play on Saturdays, Nelson had a pretty strong reputation as kind of a football junkie, someone who was, you know, really good to be, you know, to be in the meeting rooms with, very knowledgeable, hardworking, and, you know, that's kind of demanded at Harry Hiestand. We're going to get into Hiestand here in the second part of this pod, but just the level of maturity, not only physically, but in terms of how to handle being a top-level elite football player, seems to be another thing that stands out about Quentin Nelson's game.
Yeah, he loves football, so that's not a question for him. And I think just in terms of, yeah, the football junkie aspect of it, he took taekwondo or jiu-jitsu in high school because it was just like, well, maybe this will help me get better. Can I do track? Will that help me get better? He not only went to the opening, which is a, you know, premier recruiting event, as a prospect, but he returned as a counselor because he wanted to help younger guys learn. So he loves the sport. I think he clicked incredibly well with Harry Hiestand, and that there was a synergy there about this is exactly the kind of guy I want to coach if I'm Harry Hiestand thinking about Quentin Nelson.
I had a former Notre Dame player tell me earlier this year that Nelson and McGlinchey are kind of like fighting to see who can be drafted by the Bears and get reunited with Harry Hiestand. And the Bears don't have an opening at tackle right now with Charles Lennell and Bobby Massey kind of locked in there for the moment. But guard, certainly, there's an opening. They released Josh Sitton and want to get younger at that position, probably get a little bit cheaper unless they were to go after someone like Carolina's Andrew Norwell. But Quentin Nelson, you know, we mentioned NFL teams overthinking things. And, well, eighth maybe is too high for a guard because you don't want to pay a guard tackle money and, you know, guards are easier to find. But, Pete, like you said, you've covered Nelson. You've seen the kind of player he is. You covered Zach Martin. You've covered these guys. And for you to come out and just be like, well, yeah, you know, you could get a 6-time Pro Bowler over a 12-year career, what's there to overthink there? It just doesn't seem like there's a whole lot to overthink as it regards to Quentin Nelson.
There is not. It's just you have to be willing to have the courage of your convictions to pull the trigger on a guard in the top 10. I mean, I'm sure that the Giants are sitting there thinking like, damn it, I wish we were drafting like 7th instead of 2nd, because that is going to be – I would be fascinated to see what the reaction would be if Nelson goes top 5, because, yeah, we live in an overthinking media culture and the NFL is an overthinking league, but I think people would have to sit there and be like, you know what? Aren't we trying to get the best players on our team here? Like, isn't that what the draft is all about? And this is the best player. I mean, I think just in terms of pound for pound, it's Nelson and Saquon Barkley. So if you don't need a running back, but everyone needs an offensive lineman, then just pull the trigger and don't worry about left guard until what, 2030?
Yeah. That's one way to put it. all right, before we end this first segment on Quentin Nelson, I want to play some sound of Josh Adams and Mike McGlinchey talking about Quentin Nelson. They both had some pretty interesting things to say. Pete, you made the comment. So Josh Adams compared running behind Quentin Nelson to running behind a tow truck. Josh Adams' Heisman campaign was 33 trucking. So I don't know, Quentin Nelson, maybe it was the tow truck whenever the Josh Adams truck broke down. Anyways, before that analogy really gets away from me, here is Josh Adams and Mike McGlinchey talking about Quentin Nelson here at the NFL Combine.
Running behind a tow truck. He's going to move out anything that's in his way. And it was definitely a lot of fun running behind those guys. I talked to him a couple times while he was here. We ran into each other. So it's just great seeing the guys and great getting to remember moments like that where, you know, we're scoring touchdowns together and we're having fun on the field. So I don't actually see any of that until I watch the film, but you kind of feel it because if the hole is that big, you know he did something crazy and you just can't wait to see it on the highlights and see it on the film. So like I said, it was always fun running behind him. He's just a great guy and a great player.
Like
you're probably not going to get a better teammate. He's a phenomenal player, phenomenal person, cares as much as anybody in the building, works as hard as anybody in the building, and, you know, when he gets into the meeting room, when he steps across those white lines, he's a different animal, and he showed that repeatedly throughout his career. Sky's the limit for him, too, and his football knowledge, works extremely hard to be a student of the game like we all did, something that Harry preached very, very hard to us, and we weren't going to get on the field unless we bought into that. And he's done a great job with that to put himself in the position that he's in now.
So, you call yourself a Blackhawks fan? NBC Sports Chicago wants to hear from you. Visit NBCSportsChicago.com/BlackhawksAF and tell us what makes you the biggest Hawks fan. You could win the chance to be recognized as our Blackhawks authentic fan of the game, including tickets to a game, a behind-the-scenes tour, be shown on TV, and much more. NBCSportsChicago.com/BlackhawksAF.
All right, welcome into an Under Center podcast special here on NBC Sports Chicago. I'm joined by Irish Illustrated's Pete Sampson here at the Indiana Convention Center. We just spent the first half of this podcast talking about Quentin Nelson and pretty much why he makes so much sense for the Bears and why the Bears may not need to overthink things. Maybe he's not even on the board when the Bears get to number 8. And if he's not on the board when the Bears get to number 8, I think you can point to the work that Harry Hiestand did with Quentin Nelson as a pretty large reason why. So, you know, we look at the lineage of Notre Dame offensive linemen who are in the NFL. We talked about Zach Martin, Nick Martin, a guy who was kind of ascending with the Houston Texans before he had that injury last year. Ronnie Stanley, a guy who's been a pretty good success for the Baltimore Ravens. And let's just go back to when Notre Dame hired Harry Hiestand in 2012. The thought on that was, well, okay, you know, he coached in the NFL for a bit. He was with the Bears, but, you know, he had bounced around a little bit at that point. I think he was coming from Tennessee. And for him to settle in for 5-6 seasons at Notre Dame and develop the kind of offensive lineman that he did really speaks to just the level of coach that he is. But just Mike McGlinchey kind of made the comment of, like, he was never looking to, like, improve his personal standing as a coach. He cared about two things. It was family and his offensive linemen. And that really just kind of stands out about how Harry Hiestand approached coaching these guys at Notre Dame.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth clarifying that when you say he came from Tennessee, you mean the Tennessee Volunteers, not the Tennessee Titans.
Correct.
You know, he was on a train wreck staff at Tennessee with Vince Dooley.
Derek Dooley.
Derek Dooley was the head coach there. Just a complete mess. And the Notre Dame fan reaction, at least, was like, this is the best you could do? Like, this is the guy? His personality is not one for recruiting. He had an NFL personality in college, which at some places that's going to connect and some places it's not. Notre Dame is a place that that's going to connect based on the kind of guys they get in that offensive line room. Now, I think it's worth noting that we talk a lot about Nelson and McGlinchey and Stanley and Martin. Like, Harry Hiestand did not connect with everybody, and not everybody liked playing for him because he is a tough SOB, and not everybody likes to be coached that way. In the pros, that's fine, because if you don't jive with that, you're out. So that that's worth noting from the college level. But I just think Hiestand was a guy. He was, his teaching style is very on the field, not on a whiteboard. He'll like move guys around. Like in some ways, the offensive line meetings for Notre Dame's just, they took place on the field after practice. Like they would hang out on the field for an extra 10, 15, 20 minutes. So that's his style. And yeah, he's all offensive line play all the time. There's no aspirations to be a coordinator or head coach. That was something that jived really well with Brian Kelly on the staff at Notre Dame. So he's, considering the sort of, is this, okay, Harry Hiestand, who's this again? Where he was to where he's going out, I mean, they would like to build a statue of him outside the stadium.
Yes, or maybe he'll just be on the Joe Moore statue that's about 5,000 pounds and gigantic that Notre Dame won. You mentioned Harry Hiestand's recruiting style, just given that he was an NFL guy. He went in and didn't really change. And that was something that stood out to me when I was on the Notre Dame beat talking to players about Hiestand, was that they all said the pitch that Harry Hiestand gave us and the guy that he was when he was recruiting us was the same guy he was when he was our head coach. And, I mean, you're absolutely right. There are quite a few offensive linemen at Notre Dame who were big-time recruits who didn't work out under Harry Hiestand. But the common thread between everyone who did work out is that Harry Hiestand wanted you to live, eat, breathe football. And he wanted you to be a student of the game and someone who was going to put in the work and didn't need to be coddled. I mean, how many times, Pete, can you remember us standing out on those practice fields in August and hearing Harry Hiestand just rip into Mike McGlinchey? I mean, just full-throated, yelling, swearing, all that. And I'm going to play some sound from McGlinchey later here, just talking about how much he loved Harry Hiestand. But that's what you get in the NFL. Because guys in the NFL don't need to be coddled. They know if I don't shape up and I don't play well, I'm going to get cut instead of, well, I can go transfer and I can go get coddled somewhere else. So, yeah, I mean, that definitely kind of sticks out when you think about how Harry Hiestand is as a coach.
Yeah, I loved listening to his practice sessions because they were just downright profane. I mean, he destroyed people. And either you came back and wanted more of it, or you're like, I'm going to transfer, I'm just sort of done with football. I mean, that happened with somebody that they decided to go get a job instead of come back for their senior year. And it was just a starter.
A good player.
Yeah. So he was not for everybody. But the guys that he was for pretty much made the NFL. And, I mean, we're sitting here thinking this spring he will produce four first-round picks, most likely.
And I mean, McGlinchey could – I guess, yeah. McGlinchey, Nelson, Martin, Stanley. Yeah, Nick Martin is top 50 pick.
Yeah, so four first-round picks, that's – I think that would make eight in 9 years under Brian Kelly, half of them being offensive linemen. I mean, that's just completely ridiculous. And we could be talking about two top 10 picks.
Yeah.
So that's – it's incredible.
You could realistically have one of the best offensive lines in football. If left to right, you had Ronnie Stanley, Quentin Nelson, Nick Martin, Zach Martin, Mike McGlinchey. That would be legitimately, you know, maybe not 2018, but like 2020, that could be like the best offensive line in football that we would be talking about, and all of them were coached by Harry Hiestand. Zach Martin, going back to him, 2012, he could have came out early in the draft, and he decided he wanted to stick around Notre Dame, partly because he wanted to play with his brother Nick, but partly because Harry Hiestand had made such an impression on him that year that he wanted to stick around and learn another year from Harry Hiestand.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, another way to look at that is, okay, Notre Dame's running back Josh Adams was a legitimate Heisman contender. This was a serious conversation people were having. Now he's looked at as sort of a late round, day three pick. I would argue that you could have plugged any running back we talked to today behind that offensive line and they were to run for 1,400 yards. I mean, without question, that line was that good that any back that has NFL aspirations could have been a Heisman contender.
Yeah, I mean, that's quite a compliment for any offensive line. But, you know, you just look at the coaching that Hiestand has put together, and one thing that stands out, you know, at least in Chicago, is you listen to Olin Krutz, who's one of the best offensive linemen ever to come through this city, and the way that he talked about Harry Hiestand, you know, and after the Bears hired him, was just of reverence, of, you know, this guy was amazing. He did such great things for my career. And then you listen to Mike McGlinchey talk about Harry Hiestand, and it's like the same thing. And that's coming from a guy who is a Pro Bowl center and a guy who's, you know, looking to be a first-round draft pick here. Just the consistent love of Hiestand, of the guys who are successful. Now, again, like you said, Pete, not everyone's going to be successful. Hiestand could come into Chicago and maybe, you know, one of the offensive linemen that they have starting right now isn't as successful under Hiestand. But he's going to find five guys who are going to make the Bears offensive line a good unit just because that's what he does. And he's got the ability now to kind of, well, if I missed out on this guy, I can go get this guy, as opposed to he's going to transfer and leave and now I have to plug in, you know, a freshman into my offensive line. Just the consistent response you get from everyone who's successful talking about Harry Hiestand is just something that always stands out when you think about what kind of a coach that guy is.
Yeah, and it's worth noting that, you know, last year's offensive line for Notre Dame, you know, they win the Joe Moore Award, which is the top offensive line in college football. It wasn't like they had five Quentin Nelsons out there or five McGlinchey's. Now, they were old, and they started a couple other seniors in addition to Nelson McGlinchey, but at right tackle, they were playing a true freshman, Robert Hainsey, and a redshirt freshman, Tommy Kramer, where they rotated, and Hiestand was able to make that work. So I think it's worth noting that he can make it happen if you're a graduate level student, a senior, whatever, or you're a freshman or a rookie in the case of the NFL. Like, he'll be able to get a lot out of whoever that is if they're willing to just eat, sleep, live and die football.
Which in the pros you kind of have to do, otherwise you're really not going to make it. All right, we're going to close out the pod here. I want to play you some more sound of Mike McGlinchey talking about Harry Hiestand and just the experience he had playing under Harry Hiestand at Notre Dame.
You know, there's nobody that I've been around in this game that is more passionate about what he does. There's really only two things that are important to him, and it's his family and then his offensive linemen. And there's a lot to be said for that in this game. Everybody's kind of always trying to work an angle to up their own career. He doesn't want to do anything but coach O-line, and that's what really sticks out to us as his players. And, you know, he cares for us like we're his own. Obviously, coach is extremely hard and is very demanding of his players, which I loved. He pushed me to be the player that I am. I'm standing here in front of all you guys because of Harry Hiestand. But, you know, the amount of passion and care that he has, not only for his job, his teaching abilities, and, you know, his players is what sets him apart. You know, Harry helped me with everything, man. He's I came into him as a 17-year-old kid, not really knowing how to do things the right way and how to approach the game like a pro. And he taught me all that. He taught me how to play technique-wise. He taught me how to compete as hard as humanly possible, day in and day out. You know, and taught me how to be a pro off the field as well, on and off the field. So it's been a complete transformation from when I was a 16-year-old kid getting recruited by him to now being 23 and finishing my play 5 years playing for him. I have all the respect in the world for Coach Hiestand. I wish him nothing but the best for the Bears. And if our paths cross down the road again, that'd be pretty sweet too.
All right, well, that's going to do it for us here on this Under Center Pod special. Pete, thanks so much for joining. Where can people find and follow you online?
You can follow me at PeteSampson_, and the publication is Irish Illustrated. It's on the 24/7 Sports Network. IrishIllustrated.com and at PeteSampson_ on Twitter.
Quite frankly, if you're a Notre Dame fan and you're not reading Pete Sampson, I don't know what you're doing.
Who are you?
Who are you? And please let me know so I can direct you to follow Pete Sampson on Twitter. All right, Pete, thanks so much for joining, and we will see you next time here on the Under Center Podcast on NBC Sports Chicago.